Bring the House Transportation Committee to order. Present Representative Johansson, Chair, online. We expect to have Representative Dugan, Representative Salmon. I'm not sure if Mike, are you online?
I am.
Okay. Representative Salmon, are you online? We don't have Woody online. We're going to run this a little more informal than a normal transportation committee. Obviously, we've got the table full of a lot of elected officials and folks that are interested and decision makers in this process. The really the impetus for this meeting, Mayor Williams really took the lead on getting this together and approached me and asked if we could use the transportation committee as a vehicle to get this issue on the table. And basically what we're here is to talk about the connection between Ketchikan and British Columbia. Right now we go into Prince Rupert, and we're going to throw that stuff out on the table. I know we have representatives from different towns in Prince Rupert. I know Hyder has contacted me a couple times. They're, of course, interested in options for service to Hyder. So I think, first of all, we're going to go around the table. Most of you know each other, but if we could just very quickly give your name and title. And we have a lot of people in the room watching, too, and if it's not too much of a problem, we can go around the room, too, so everybody knows who's in the room and who they're affiliated with. And I'll start with Mayor Williams.
My name is Joe Williams. I'm Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor and also the City of Saxon Mayor.
And we'll just continue to the right.
Dave McDonald, District of Port Edward.
Rudy Bergman, Political and Economic Relations Officer with Canadian Council of in Anchorage, Alaska.
Captain John Falvey, General Manager, Alaska Marine Highway.
Bruce Jones, General Manager, Mayor Alaska.
Gary Reese, Chief Counsel, Alaska West, and Chief.
Good morning. Captain George Capazzi, I'm the Vice President of Fleet Operations at PC Ferries in Victoria.
Good morning. I'm Dennis Hardy, Deputy Commissioner.
Kelly with Governor Palin's office, Special
Assistant
to Transportation.
Bob White, Mayor of the City of Prince
Rupert. Mayor of City of Prince
Rupert. Mr. Wellington, Mayor of Mount Catlin.
Well, that's concludes Transportation Risk Council.
Tracy Connolly, Member of Marine Transportation Advisory Board.
Ken Miller, Industrial Commerce Commission.
Charlie Freeman, Vice Mayor, City of Ketchikan.
Ben Hart, State Aid, Center Spit.
Start with Pete and go back around the room this way.
Pete, that kind of worked for us at Ken Meyer.
What's the
other one?
Larry, Hospitality.
Bruce Wishart, Tourism
Director.
Bob
Lennard,
Chief Administrative Officer.
Floyd Holly, City Manager, City of Prince Rupert.
Daniel Pelican, City of Prince Rupert. Chris
Lapita, City of Prince Rupert.
Jim Beadle, what's up, Warren Miller?
Jerry Frankie, President of the City of Prince
Rupert. John Richards, in Operation
Ben Lawrence,
Ketchikan.
Rob Thompson, General Manager, Engineering Public, City of Prince Rupert.
Hello. Hi. I'm just on that transportation. Oh, I'm on the teleconference and at House Transportation.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a few folks online. I'm not sure how many people we have online, but at this point we're going to start with the agenda and go over some welcoming comments by myself, Mayor Williams, and Mayor Fong. Before we get started, if you could all make sure you have your cell phones turned off or on vibrate. Also, there's been a request by some of the folks who are a little more casual. You're all allowed to take your ties off, keep your hats on, and relax. First of all, I just want to say thank you all for coming. This, for me, is extremely important. Prince Rupert has always been a real important connection to Ketchikan. We've been going down there for years, and we've always felt like we've suffered from a real lack of consistent service. We love going down there, and I think for the health of both of our economies, with what's going on down in Rupert, we need to find some way to come up with a consistent schedule or plan to move people and goods back and forth through these communities that are so close to each other. I'm sure Mayor Bond is going to go over some of the exciting things that are going down in Prince Rupert. And also I want to put out there, this is really, the intent is really to put this out on the table and just see where people are coming from. We're not here to make any decisions today. We're not trying to get to any predisposed plan. We just want to throw things out there at this point, more like a brainstorming session, and see where people are coming from, what concerns they have, what other ideas people might have. We're going to follow this meeting up in Juneau during session with a full transportation committee with all the members present. And well, it'll obviously be a little smaller, but we're going to invite major players who are really active over the next couple months in getting this ball rolling and figuring out what we're going to do. We all know about the age of the Marine Highway System. We're going to have to replace vessels soon, and we need to start thinking about that and talking about what kind of service that will work and that we can get the rest of the state on board with supporting, because you know, it's going to have to go through the entire legislature. So what we want to do is get something that we can get behind, push, and make sense so we can convince all the other people around the state to support this, because most likely it's going to take state support no matter what plan we come up with. So don't feel like we're going to hold everything you say to your word. We're just trying to get things out there and let people voice where they're coming from. Mayor Williams, welcome in.
Before I start, I would like to do a traditional welcome to you folks. I'd like to invite my brother to join me. When folks travel a distance that we have, and what we want to do traditionally is welcome you to our land. My brother and I would say, to my father's people's land. And primarily because this is his side of the family. And so one of the songs that I want to sing is a song that is done by the chiefs welcoming you to our great land. And this song is rarely sung, and quite honestly, I don't know why, but I enjoy singing it primarily because it truly reminds me my father when he was still with us and welcoming people to our small community of Saxon. And the responsibility of the chief, in this case he represented the chief, dancing, having down feathers in his headpiece going out to each person. And as the feathers are landing on you, you are officially welcome to our small community. And then the second song that we'll be singing is a song that is more joyful, because now that you've been officially welcomed, we have a number of things that we need to do. But the song is, Oyo Oyo. Yeah. So with that, I just want to again thank each and every one of you for attendance. I'm just really, really pleased and very tickled, and truly, to me, this is an answer to prayer of all your attendance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. We're going to move on. It's a hard act to follow, so we're gonna send the mayor of Prince Rupert. Yes, of course.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to dance on the tables for you. Again. I'm actually glad to see that there is a transport meeting here, because I was beginning to wonder by about 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning whether this wasn't just Joe's way of filling some hotel rooms in Ketchikan. We brought up quite a delegation, and I'm really pleased with the people that have come. You know, we're going to probably use the word Prince Rupert a fair bit, but it's really representative of a whole territory. I have, as part of our delegation today, already introduced, but Chief Gary Reese from Lac La Lance. Prince Rupert is in the heart of the traditional territories of the Tsimshian people, and so the many communities that surround and make up our area, including the district of Port Edward, represented by Mayor Dave McDonald, are really what we're talking about when we kind of rather lazily use the word Prince Rupert, or the term Prince Rupert, but it's really that region that we're talking about. When we were out last evening doing part of the economic development program that Mayor Williams had encouraged us to do, and I caught up to some of my gang in the Sourdough Bar, and I enjoyed very much going down looking at the pictures that were there in the Sourdough Bar, and the many boats on the rocks, but there were two pictures that stood out to me very strongly, and if I could put them up today, I would. One was that classic picture of Captain Capacci says, this is how they make little ferries, but the image of an Alaska ferry, which we all hate to see, but these incidents happen, and a Kinahan Island has kind of nosed up onto the island where it shouldn't be, and a BC ferry nosed in behind it, taking the vehicles off, and those two organizations working very closely together to come, you know, to look after each other. The other was a picture of a baseball team. And it was a picture of, I believe, the very first Prince Rupert Ketchikan annual baseball tournament that used to be played here. And it was 1912. Now, that's rather significant from my perspective, because they didn't start clearing trees in Prince Rupert until 1907. So within 5 years, there is an annual baseball tournament between Ketchikan and Prince Rupert, and a lively event, and one in which we participated. And really, that is our history. We are the closest two communities of this size to each other. There is no community closer to Prince Rupert of this size, as a crow flies, than Ketchikan. And yet, we have this crazy situation. Mayor Williams describes my coming up here to speak to the Chamber of Commerce. I do try to use the ferry system when it makes sense, but even as we've traveled up here today, we took the ferry up, and we enjoyed that trip very much. But in order to return home, we need to charter an aircraft out of here this evening, or we stay till Friday night, which may have been the mayor's intention as well. I'm not sure. But, you know, I coming up for that Chamber of Commerce meeting, I left Prince Rupert, flew south, at considerable expense, came all the way back up, and 12 hours after I left my home, the pilot comes on the over the intercom and says, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll look to the right, you can see down below us the lights of Prince Rupert. 12 hours after I'd left home, I'm now staring down at home, and probably $700 or $800 later. And it just doesn't make sense. And I'm going to get a chance in a bit here to tell you a little bit about what's happening in Prince Rupert, but I really want, I'm just tickled by all the people that have come here. When I saw the invitation list and who had agreed from the Alaska side, I was extremely impressed. When I saw who from the side just immediately signed up and indicated they wanted to be here and were prepared to switch their schedules around and make it happen.
I was equally impressed, and I want to thank each and every one of you for making this happen. And the Tsimshian have a word, which is kind of an all-inclusive word. Gary's can correct me, and also these gentlemen can correct me, but it's why what? And it's often said at the end of something, why what? And it basically is a catch-all that says, let's do it. Let's make it happen. And so I hope at the end of this meeting that we gather today that we're able to say, why what? And let's make something happen. Thank you, Mayor.
I would like to invite Mayor Weinstein to make a couple comments.
I'll be a little briefer than my colleagues. I'd like to welcome everybody here for a subject that's been of great importance to me for a number of years. I've been an advocate of improved and relatively daily service between our two communities for many years. I was very elated when several years ago $27 million was, I don't know if the correct word is, authorized or allocated for what became the Gateway Shuttle. And I was equally disappointed when Robin Taylor somehow took the money away and could no longer wear it in. Our job is to regroup and come up with a good option to do what our communities have been trying to do for many years. And that's not only to establish good transportation links between our communities, but also to improve our business links and cultural links and more importantly, our friendships.
We're going to go off. You all have a script in front of you, an agenda. We're going to go off that a little bit, and I think it's important for the community leaders and other folks around the table to get an opportunity to make a few comments. And I'd invite Mayor Wellington, if he has some words to say, we can be happy to listen.
Good morning. One of the reasons I came over for this meeting was a few years back I sat with the mayor of Prince Rupert in June, and we talked about transportation to Adams Harbor. As you guys all know, we're in the process of trying to complete a road from Napa-Catlin to right across the road here, and then we're going to try to get over to my brother's entry here, Joe. We work with him, fight with him every day, try to get him to change his mind, and I think we're making some headway there. Speaking about our road, Mr. Atkinson and I have been involved in that since its inception, and my mom was there for the ribbon cutting when they decided that we were going to build the road. Well, she told Senator Stevens, when we finish the road, I want to be the first one to ride in it in the Cadillac. Well, 10 years later, my mom is in the hospital up here. She's 97 years old. And she had a real bad setback, but we just came from there just now. She's doing very, very well. In fact, we're taking them back home on Thursday. But I got very excited about what I'm hearing from the mayor here about transportation. As you know, Mount Catlog is a Central City. And Gary, I have probably 1,000 relatives up there. I did go over there for a reunion with my family over there. And I figure this election, I'm going to bring them all over to Brooklyn. Anyway, I have Saul Atkinson. He works out of my office, and he takes care of transportation, and him and I worked together on transportation issues for Mount Catlin, and I'm just glad to see all the response that we've had here today, and I see a lot of familiar faces and a lot of you I don't know, but hopefully we can come out of here with some positive and move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor McDonald from Fort Edwards.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I'm excited to be here. Just you don't hear many politicians say it, but I'm here to listen. And I'd like to thank her for letting us know this is going on. And one of the other exciting things going on is to see that picture of the crane this morning in Prince Rupert Harbor. And once again, that can help both communities and both countries. I'm looking forward to the discussion today, and once again, thank you for inviting me.
We'll go down. We'll let the elected officials, because they're representing more than people that are just here in the room. Councilmember Freeman, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
No, I'd like to welcome Chris to be here. And all these tournaments for Trooper, which is, you know, grown over the years now, and
more teams that come in for children. Not only from Little Cathay, you have Heidelberg that comes down there, they get Jake coming down there, so, you know, there's a huge connection to that, and we'd like to see that happen.
Saul Atkinson, you're been the mayor, I don't know, a few times in the past, in the capital, and part of the transportation issues over there.
Thank you for the opportunity, but I think I'll reserve my comments and questions for when after the presentation and Mayor.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Woody.
Hey, Woody, thank you very much. We've been joined by Representative Woody Salmon.
Mr. Chairman, also Craig Johnson is online. I didn't have jury duty.
Oh, good. Thank you. Welcome. Also, Representative Craig Johnson out of the Anchorage area. Woody Stanton is from Beaver up in the interior. Welcome, both of you. If you just joined online, we're just going around the table with introductory comments by the folks here. We have a room full here, and Ketchikan is getting a little warm. We have a few more to go, and then we have a few presentations. Unfortunately, the PowerPoint is not going to mean much to you guys, but we will have a transportation meeting in Juneau on this issue, so this will just be a little primer for you. Thank you for joining us. Also at the table, Jim Van Horn is here, representing Senator Stedman. Any comments from the Senator?
Well, I talked to the Senator.
Should dovetail what Senator Stedman and Scott going over from the Senate Finance Committee. And we'll be reviewing, and we'll talk to DOT about this, reviewing the statutory obligations for their planning. Had some questions about that last year, and we're going to be getting together with Mr. Hardy and the Commissioner and talk about that during the session. Former Representative Williams, do you have anything you'd like to add?
My father told me when we were growing up that we didn't come out from the area and we didn't come out from the area. And when they do come out and sing for you and dance for you, that's a good thing. I'd like to wish you all a happy
Russ Kelly, any message from the governor?
Well, I know that
Comments from the chair of the MCAP?
I'm hoping to leave here today with more information to communicate back and forth between DOC and community members and people and good people to work with and actually go to the local questions. And I think that's going to make a difference for our local communication. I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you. And JC has been active with the Marine Outreach and Southeast Conference and MTAP and just living in Ketchikan and being active. Mr. Conley, do you have any opening comments?
Well, I would just like to say good morning, everybody. It's kind of good to see our friends from Prince Rupert and about in town today. But I would like, you know, as we go forward, we've talked about this Gateway Shuttle for a long time. We've talked about our relationship, our declining relationship to Prince Rupert for a long time, and we just really haven't been able to get off the dime. But in my mind, there's a real convergence going on. And Mr. Chairman, give me a little bit of latitude. I'll speak quickly, and I won't speak again, maybe. But we have this world-class megaport in Prince Rupert, which opens the world up to Alaskan products. I mean, we have a backhaul to the Far East, which to me a backhaul is a good thing, because if we want to export resources, we should be able to negotiate some good rates in the backhaul. And we have a connection to the Midwest of the United States and the heartland of British Columbia. And what we have in Southeast is we have some natural resources that we can only send to another market to be processed. We're having record fish runs. And the other opportunity we have with our British Columbian neighbors is to create a power grid between British Columbia and Southeast Alaska. And what that will do is that will create affordable energy and a good transportation link, the two necessary components of economic development, and a link to Asia and the Midwest for our resources and the resources of northern British Columbia. This is a win-win. And we've been working on an energy grid. We've been working on transportation for years. I would hope, Mr. Chairman, with your leadership and Senator Steadman's leadership, that when it comes to appropriations, we can give the due that the Marine Highway System needs, meaning the kick in the butt, or as everyone hates to say, earmark, to get this damn ferry boat built. I mean, we should be running a ferry out of Prince Rupert into Ketchikan, up to South Midcock. Remember that, George? Grabbing the fish in South Midcock, coming back to Ketchikan, grabbing some more fish, and going to Prince Rupert, and now we got a megaport. You know, you could pick your market left or right. Asia or Chicago. I mean, this is huge. So I applaud your efforts, Mr. Chairman, and I'd like to thank Mayor Williams and Mayor Bond. But it's going to require your leadership to ensure that we have a plan to succeed. These are going to be, this might be a harsh comment, but having been around the competition of roads and ferries, I think a lot of times there's a desire that the plan fail. And that's why we're always talking about building new roads. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kibachi, you are very familiar with the Marine Highway, obviously. Some comments from the DC perspective?
I'm a little fish in this pond, Mr. Chairman. I've got a very small perspective on this, but our goal in BC Ferries is one of the goals that the ferry systems throughout northwestern North America are sharing. Both the Washington State Ferries, BC Ferries, and Alaska Highway Systems are challenged with the aging infrastructure, both the float and the terminal side. And we are rebuilding our fleet. At BC Ferries, we've got three ships underway in construction in Germany and a ship under construction in North Vancouver. We just added two ships to our fleet just last year from various sources, and we are embarking on a major capital investment by recapitalizing the small and intermediate fleet at BC Ferries. We've got 36 ships that we're operating right now, and it's a challenge. The other part of that challenge is that for that transportation link to be available, you have to have infrastructure ashore that the ships can vary up to. So our piece of this puzzle is to explore, to look at the terminal there in Prince Rupert, and our goal is to build a joint port facility there that both DC Ferries and Alaska Marine Highway System can operate on. That's the direction that we go to. The infrastructure there, the terminal is aging, and we're willing to work diligently to rebuild that, to make it the transportation hub that it really can be. So that's just my little corner of the world here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Appreciate that. Mr. Jones, from the IFA, your perspective on what we're doing here?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we've only been on the job for about 3 weeks, so I practically claim to be an expert on this. I was on board at Southeast Conference for a few years and discussed this exciting concept at that level for at least 3 or 4 years. And there, it's very important to rank for BC and the Southeast Alaska and the rest of Alaska for that matter. The IFA is governed by a board of directors. Them and say that the IFA will build anything that we need to assist in getting this money. We're at the table and we're here to help.
Okay. And I don't want to butcher your last name, but you can read it, but I'm not sure if it's right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rudy Griffin, retaining counsel, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here. Again, we're here to listen to more about these communities. Talking to each other about the things coming from the federal government to speak here. But one thing we've tried to do is to our Alaskan friends to help them understand how some issues work and how some issues may impact these connections that they already exist that are impeded by people at the federal level. So I provide some information for all of you sitting at the table, and hopefully some of you were able to get that about some issues that may impact individuals in Alaska who are impeded to travel to their visitor neighbors or do business in East Canada and British Columbia, and we're here to listen and maybe help some people far, far away understand some local issues as well. And thanks very much.
Thank you. And finally, Mr. Hardy, who is in charge of our Marine Highway System now, do you have some comments you'd like to share?
Certainly. Our goal is to run the boat. Run the boat. Sign of an ancient fleet, we have four vessels. We have three that are in the great subdivision. Due to the extremely high cost of hauling
I'm here to listen. But it's a money issue.
I think that's one reason we're having the meeting is we want to get a case, figure out what we want to do, and have it airtight to make it easier to sell this. As I mentioned before, we need to sell this at a state level to different regions of the state, and we really need to have our ducks in a row. And I think Mayor Williams and Mayor Pond want to get this started now. As Dennis said, the fleet needs to be replaced, and we don't want to get to a situation where we have to make these decisions in 6 months or a year. We need to get this started now, figure out what we need to make that connection happen, and go ahead with the plan. So I appreciate you coming down, Mr. Hardy. The other two folks at the table, Kent Miller and Captain Falvey, both have presentations scheduled, so we're gonna skip by you two, if you don't mind, at this point. And is there anybody else around the perimeter who has a desire to get up and make some comments on this issue? Mr. Coos, there's a table if you'd like to sit or stand.
My name is Jason. I'm a citizen of the state 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 of the state. This community that connection, for instance, to connect with. And it's first off, and it's time to start walking talk. I'm based on the importance of the school. So that's just part of the child leadership, birth leadership, and the school.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Anybody else like to have any more comments on the record? Okay. Seeing none, Mayor Williams, do you have a presentation?
The only presentation that I wanted to make, and just kind of in reiteration, is the fact that if we're serious about it, about having a daily service to conserve it, I think we ought to get off the dime and start doing it. And because it could only mean economic development for this community. And as I stated earlier, going over Mayor Pond's itinerary. Who in their right mind would do that just to come to Ketchikan? Generally, no one. And I mean that very sincerely because when you think in terms of the funding and the time that it took, you know, more than 12 hours to get from Prince Rupert to Ketchikan just to come to visit, it's just not in the playing cards. And I really would like to see that this daily shuttle occurred. And only from that, upon the development of Deepwater Port and Prince Rupert, could only be beneficial to southern Southeast Alaska. And so, once again, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate you calling this meeting, appreciate you doing it in concert with both Mayor Pond and myself, so that we certainly can get this thing off and rolling. So, with that, again, once more, I really want to thank each and every one of you for taking some valuable time of yours to be here with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move on to Mayor Pond and other presentation, I want to check online. Is there anybody online that would like to comment as an introductory comment?
I'm seeing Senator Kukesh's office and just listening in.
I don't hear anybody. Mayor Pond, you need a couple minutes to
nope.
Set up. You ready
nope.
to go?
I think we're ready to go. I'm going to stand up. And I think I'll shift if I can, if for no other reason than to save your necks from all looking the same direction for the whole meeting and going to your chiropractor directly after. Chris is going to get that set up, but I don't know what we have to do here to get the rest of the screen. Matt, over there. Over closer.
Oh, excellent.
So, I'm not. All of us in the room are well aware of Southeast Conference great organization that it is, the incredible work that it achieves. But I think sometimes we forget about the origin of Southeast Conference, and that Prince Rupert indeed was a charter member of Southeast Conference. As the governor of Alaska and the premier of British Columbia in the day decided that it would be very important to link our countries with a ferry network. And the premier of British Columbia committed to extending ferry service into Prince Rupert, and the governor of Alaska committed to extending ferry service down to Prince Rupert, and Southeast Conference was formed around that. To this day is what it is and has the impact that it has. And I want to suggest to you today that had those decisions not been made, that we would have all the reason today to do it again. That if we were to enter into this world today and there wasn't linkage back and forth between our countries and our communities at this level, that we would be gathering here today to talk about why we should win. Because there's opportunities for both of us. I happen to have a picture which my buddy Blaine pulled up for me, and I sure appreciate that. He obviously understands where my heartstrings are at, and I don't expect you to see it very clearly, but this is pulled off the web, I imagine, Blaine, because these are the cranes arriving in Prince Rupert last night. Three large cranes coming all the way from China and a special vessel that's designed to carry this sort of load. It's kind of hard to get it when you look at these things, but our tallest hotel in Prince Rupert is a 14-story structure. These cranes will dwarf that 14-story hotel. So I don't know if to pass it around or whatever, but it just gives you a sense of what it is that we're talking about in Prince Rupert. And really why this matters to Alaska, in my view, there's two reasons. JC hit it well. One is the development of a trade corridor that is going to open up opportunities for the movement of goods and the movement of resources and the connecting of business in a new way. Because business has shifted around the world, and some of us have been a little slow to catch it. We all have a view of this shirt having been made in China and shipped to a shelf at Walmart, and I bought it, right? That's kind of the way we think the world works. But the reality is that it's much more complex. The reality is that the cotton that went into this shirt actually came out of Memphis. One of the big partners that Prince Rupert has in this initiative is Memphis, Tennessee. Because they're going to be loading cotton into containers that will flow back to Asia through Prince Rupert. And so the cotton came from Memphis, and it goes to China, and it goes to a particular community in China where they weave it into thread and then load containers full of thread to move it to yet another community that specializes in the weaving of the cloth. And then load the cloth into containers again to be moved to yet another community that specializes in the cutting and sewing and creating the shirt. Now, meanwhile, containers of buttons have come from Indonesia, where they are taking petroleum byproducts and forming the buttons, and they will be joined to the shirts to be put into containers to ship back through Prince Rupert to Chicago, where they will be distributed into the heartland of the United States and put on store shelves. Your cell phone is made that way. Your car is made that way. It is no longer a single assembly plant. It is a world of interconnected specialization and raw resources. And if you aren't on the corridor, if you are not in that trade group, you are not in that economy. It's just that simple. So, want to give a map for context. We always talk about how close we are, but here we are. There's this tiny little bit of open water that separates and this rather artificial boundary, certainly from a First Nations or Native development point of view, a very artificial boundary that we put on there, and we're that close together. hit the next slide. I don't pretend to have memorized these slides. Keep going. There's the sort of distances that we've already talked about. We're 90 miles from Ketchikan, 85 to 90 miles. This is Prince Rupert, Port Edward population, about 15,000. The immediate service area, when you include the Tsimshian communities, 22,000. If you sort of grow up and include the Charlottes in the larger area, 66,000. Keep on going. This is what we're all talking about. This, and the reason I'm doing this for you today is if I could take you to Prince Rupert, I wouldn't have to do this presentation. I just want to give you a little taste of what you may not have seen in a little while. This is the area, this is the community of Prince Rupert, very much like Ketchikan. Sandwiched between the mountain and the ocean. Sits up here. Rail bed that goes out into the North American market flights straight out of here. And actually the most preferable grade through the Rockies anywhere on the west coast of North America comes through here. And then this is the terminal that's being converted, or largely has been converted, a rather old photo, into that facility. This is an artist mock-up of what it's going to be when it's up and running, but the trains are, as you've seen right here, it's almost entirely intermodal. In other words, one of the reasons people said this container port would not work is we don't have much of a local market. You bring containers into Seattle or Vancouver or Long Beach, and 30 to 40% of the containers are for local destinies in that marketplace, and the others move on through. And people said the reason it won't work here is because you don't have a local marketplace. But what's happened over the last decade is the local marketplace is actually so congested, Seattle, Vancouver, Long Beach, and other places, the communities that donated around those container ports are saying, we don't want any more trucks or trains coming through our communities. The mayor of Delta, where in Vancouver, where there is a container port, is one of my greatest allies. She says, I don't want one more container coming into my community. Will you please send them to Prince Rupert? That's what's happening down in those communities. So this is largely intermodal. Container comes off, and within hours, it's put on a train, and it's gone. Phase one is 500,000 TEU. If you talk about containers, some of you are in the shipping business, and this is like a old hat for you, but a TEU is a 20-foot equivalent. That's how containers largely started, in 20-foot units. Now there are numbers of sizes, not very many, or 20 feet actually, but they still measure the capacity of vessels in 20-foot equivalent units. So we'll be 500,000 TEUs at the beginning, which is nice, but quite frankly, it's rather small on a world scale. The phase two will take us up to 1.5, a little over 1.5. They think they can squeeze more out of it. That takes us up roughly to the capacity of the four container ports in Vancouver today. Gives you a sense of the scale, what phase two takes us to. There's an opportunity for a terminal two, which would be a whole another container terminal area within the harbor of Prince Rupert, which would take us into a considerably larger volume after that. And this is what it's all about. When you stare at the maps, you don't get it. When you stare at the globe, you do. Here's Chicago. Here's the Prince Rupert Ketchikan area. There's Asia. If you take a string and dangle it over a map between Korea, between China, between India, in Chicago, Memphis, any of those major hubs back there, you watch where that string rolls when you tug it tight. And it does not roll over LA. And it doesn't even roll over Vancouver. It rolls north, up here. This is the shortest possible route between those points, shaving days off of shipping and then the keep on going. And here is a graphic of exactly that, the red being Prince Rupert, And the shipping times between these various ports, be it Singapore, Hong Kong, and you know, but the point is clear. This is the shortest possible shipping route. That has generated other activities in our community. As you well know, the story of Rupert and Ketchikan are just so similar. We went through the closure of our pulp mill for slightly different reasons, but we suffered the downturn that you suffered, and I would argue that our downturn was longer and deeper and more substantial. And I, you know, as the mayor of a community and dealing with the social side of that, dealing with families and people literally grown men crying in my office asking me if now's the time to leave. I mean, just really, really tough time. This turnaround is bringing life in our community at all kinds of levels. We're seeing investment in our community from literally all over the world. People arriving every day with millions of dollars looking for investment opportunities within the surrounding area. One of those investment companies is actually represented here today, and that is a gaming center or a casino that's now about a $15 million build. For those of you that know the Crest Hotel, it sits right beside the Crest Hotel, one of the few casinos in the world that's going to have a gorgeous water view out over the harbor with incredible facilities. So it's under construction. Now, these pictures don't do it justice, but come in a month and you'll get to see it properly. Keep on going there, Chris. It attracted investors out of Calgary who want to do some big box format retail development. They've acquired some land. This is the schematics. They're going to probably be scratching dirt towards the end of this year. And so we're pretty excited about that reinvestment. We're seeing new residential construction. In Prince Rupert, the only houses that have been built in the last decade are houses that were custom built for somebody who was building a dream home. That's not economy. That's somebody that's lucky, right? And, or worked hard and is enjoying the fruit of their labor. But that's not economy. What we're seeing now is companies coming in from out of town actually developing whole subdivisions. And so this is one of the early ones here. Again, slide bad, but anyway. We're seeing huge presence of security. Canada Work Services has hired 35 new officers, bringing the complement from Prince Rupert to nearly 50 officers in Prince Rupert for phase one. The RCMP are upping their presence, and as are other agencies. Look on through there. Now, we know, and got to identify, I mean, we'd be foolish not to recognize that there are challenges that have entered into the system of operating between British Columbia and Alaska that didn't exist when Southeast Conference was formed in 1963 and when we began this adventure. Safety of life at sea requirements that didn't exist back then. that's a bit of a red herring. There's some both Canada and U.S. customs issues that have become really intensified. And, you know, I understand the dynamics of those as well, I think, as anybody. The advanced ferry scheduling, it wasn't actually in my talking point, but I want to make a note on that just the same. And that is this. When I first moved to Prince Rupert, I got introduced to Alaska by a hotelier in Prince Rupert whose hotel was primarily built around the 1963 coming together of those two systems. And he was in Alaska and active in Alaska all the time, member of what was then the ADA, now the ATIA, and we were active up here. That hotelier now spends 0% of his time and energy on Alaska. And it really has to do with a lot of decline in the system. One of the things that we were very successful as local communities lobbying BC Ferries is to say that if you want to sell tours into the international marketplace, you must be able to tell them 2 years in advance what your sailing schedule is. It is absolutely impossible for a wholesaler in Germany to put brochures into the marketplace without knowing 2 years in advance when he's going to get on that vessel with his customer. And in the and BC Ferries has done that. And in the absence of that, quite frankly, the tour market coming in and through our community up into Alaska has died right off. There's a fraction of the number of people that. There's some other issues that have to do around scheduling and everything else, but that's one of the issues I just wanted. There are some tremendous opportunities in front of us. I want to say to you, I think there's two things that jump out at me. One is this whole trade route, the commercial connection and transportation. What can you make in Alaska that might go into those cans that will go to China? And JC's absolutely right. The marketplace with containers traveling back and forth kind of works like this. It's about 3-to-1. Andrew is here from the Port of Prince Rupert. He can ask and answer all the questions in the world. He's kind of specializing on doing business here with Alaskan companies and counterparts. But it's roughly 3-to-1 for every containers 100% full coming from Asia. There are about 1/3 of them to half of them going back are full. So guess what? The rates going back are about 1/3 as people discount, try and find products to move back in those empty containers. And there are huge opportunities for fish and potentially timber products and other things that you can put in those cans and send back. And then, of course, there's the opportunity to supply domestic goods into Alaska from that container port, from the Chicago Heartland areas and others. And then, of course, there's the opportunity to send your finished products into the heart of the United States. And so there's all these opportunities, and that's all around the trade route. But there's a second opportunity that I think that we have somewhat missed. And that is your pipes. Like our pipes in the BC Ferry system are full. The input opportunity is full. We are lobbying BC Ferries for daily ferry service because they run a vessel in the Prince Rupert every second day. Through the summer, it's full. Once it's full, once the car deck, in fact, is full, we have now capped out the number of visitors that can come on a circle tour in the Prince Rupert. Doesn't matter how much marketing we do, doesn't matter how close. Many hotel rooms we have available and at what price, if a passenger can't get into the system, they can't experience what we have. And I know from talking up and down Southeast over the years that one of the visitor opportunities that Southeast has always felt is underrepresented is those people that stay overnight. Doing a great job in the cruise industry, but where are the people that are going to fill the hotel rooms and the restaurants and all those things? I was absolutely astonished, I got to tell you, when on about a week's notice, I was able to get 10 rooms with Pink Bond Walk. I was in the middle of summer. I was absolutely astonished. And because that shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. And yet if your pipeline is full, if the ferry out of Bellingham is full, if the ferry coming in out of Rupert is at capacity because of schedule or whatever, then your ability to fill the ferry to Petersburg and your ability to fill your ferry and be in revenue anywhere else in your system is full. You've capped it. And your ability to put people in hotel rooms and your ability to sell those extra meals after the cruise ship, it's all full. And in our case, I think we've neglected the pipe. I think we've neglected the pipe that actually feeds the system, and then we wonder why the system is actually having some problems. Open up the pipe. I think the whole system starts to gain some. And so those are the opportunities. That's why I think that what's happening in our little neck of the woods matters in Alaska. I want to thank you for this opportunity to kind of paint that picture for you. And as I say, Andrew is here from the port. If you have really specific important questions, please, Andrew, wave that hand. Make sure that people know that you're here. The guys from the casino are here. And they'll gladly sort of book you down there the first night. They also have the whole hotel in Prince Rupert, so they'll do whatever. But anyway, if we can help with anything, let us know. That's really why we're here. And thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Thomas.
Captain Salvi from DOT, I believe you're on the
Senator Johansson.
Thank you very much. I do apologize for leaving the room twice. The guy that technically runs our system day in and day out and goes on 24/7. So I apologize. I don't have a PowerPoint, but what I would like to do is talk a little bit, from a technical standpoint, since I've got a pretty good handle on how things go day by day, day in and day out, and the technical aspects of things. What I'd like to talk about is the Southern Gateway Shuttle Project. I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about SOLAS, and then we can go from there. I'd like to start by saying in November of 2004, the state commenced what's called a design study report, or a Southern Gateway Shuttle. Okay? And this was federally funded, so there was a federal bidding process.
and Glossin Associates, very capable firm, actually done a lot of work for us. They designed the Fast Ferries. They won the bid, and they commenced the design study report. And what a design study report does is it makes our, you know, recommended design recommendations. It doesn't actually come up with a drawing that you could bring to a shipyard and say, now go ahead and build the boat, but it comes up with a concept, and it's a pretty detailed process. They take all kinds of things into account. This report's 60 or 70 pages long. They look at different vessel types, different vessels, maybe two vessels going end-to-end, day boats, 24/7 boats. It goes on and on. Okay, it also provides the necessary preliminary engineering needed for environmental documentation. Okay, they develop a cost estimate. We have a rough cost estimate. And they recommend the best acquisition type process to physically want and purchase the boat. Mayor Weinstein was correct in saying there was $27 million of federal money in a pot. That money is no longer there. Okay. I guess what I can say is federal dollars, shackwack dollars, it's very complex the way that money moves around. Okay, I'm just going to leave it at that. Very complex. Okay. Now, as I say, this process began in November of 04, and in May of 05, Boston did deliver to us a design study report. And they came up with what we call, quote, a concept vessel. And in essence, this vessel is, in their final analysis, after a lot of analysis, a steel hull, long, slender vessel. Okay, the kind of vessel that would need the horsepower, per se, to reach a speed of approximately 24 to 25 knots. That would allow us to run from our Ketchikan terminal, Prince Rupert, as a day boat. Okay? The capacity for 350 people approximately, 60 large Alaska Standard vehicles. It's also got to have the capacity to handle vans, which we're quite a few of, okay, because that's important. July of 06, this project became inactive. Probably you don't want to go into the details on that, but it became inactive due to a lack of activity in essence, you know, with the project. And money, funding, sitting in that project pot. Okay, Federal Highway will not allow us to have a project that, in essence, sits inactive and money's not being spent on the project. Okay. February of 07, I reactivated the project. It was a process we had to go through to reactivate the process. So the Southern Gateway Shuttle is back on the books. It's back on the rolls. And as of just a few days ago, Federal Highway folks, talking to both myself and my director of engineering, indicated to us that you need to get some more money in the pot and you need to start doing something, or it can't stay active. So that's where we're at with the Southern Gateway. Okay, I guess logically the first question that comes to my mind, being the technical guy here, is with the folks in this room and the thought process, I guess that'll go on after I get done talking. Is there some concept that this may not be the vessel we want? And I think that to proceed ahead with the vessel we do want, we need that pretty strong guidance from somewhere. You know, I mean, we've heard about Metlakatla possibly being involved. This would not be the vessel on the Metlakatla, most likely. So I think we need to be very careful. I think that's some good solid guidance as to how we're going to go forward, and then we move forward. Very roughly, this is an $80 million boat. This boat, roughly. And that's just a rough figure, but those are the kind of figures that we're being employed. That's a lot of money. Just find the money and go ahead. To go from where we are now, probably need another $1 million to actually draw a design. We can take to a shipyard and say, okay, now we'll build it. And then you'll probably be a few years away from actually building something. As far as new construction, what has happened is the hurricane that hit New Orleans did so much damage to marine vessels and barges and all that that shipyards have got huge backlogs. These companies that manufacture engines and, you know, provide parts and pieces for ships right back on. So that's where we are with the Southern Gateway. I would say that technically we're going to need some guidance as to is this the vote for us? Because I've got on a piece of paper a concept of what it should be. And it's pretty quick and pretty easy to physically design it for me. So that's step one. I guess the other thing I want to talk about, as Mayor Pond had mentioned, is SOLIS. SOLIS is what's called Safety of Life at Sea. It's international regulations. So these aren't United States and Canada rules. These are international rules. And basically they are set in place for vessels going from one country to another, calling in a foreign port. Okay. And where we are now is because these regulations are tiered regulations. We've been dealing with this for years. Fox dealt with it, and we continue to deal with it. Very expensive. We make these modifications during our federal projects, big CIP federal overhauls. We do a little at a time. So where we stand now is we've got three vessels that are SOLIS certified as we speak today. Okay, 2010 is another big benchmark for us. Okay, the Matanuska and the Taku and the Kennecott. The Kennecott's in pretty good shape. She is a fairly new ship. When they built the Kennecott, they knew that this was coming, 2010, out in the future, and prepared for that. So we're really, money-wise, in pretty good shape on the Kennecott. As far as the Matanuska and the Taku are concerned, we are in the groove with that. We know what we have to do. I don't know whether I'll bore everybody with the different requirements. It's technical stuff. But as far as the Matanuska is concerned, we need by 2010 to put another $6 million or so into that boat just for SOLIS, let alone anything else that we might need to keep the boat running. And believe me, the big federal projects are what keep these boats running. It's not the state capital that does it. As far as the Taku is concerned, by 2010, we're looking at about $4.6 million. And we have that money set in place. We are in the groove. We have a plan. We have a process to get the money, and we know the money's going to be there. Okay, so as far as we're concerned, those three boats, with the money that I just mentioned, will meet 2010 SOLIS requirements. Well, that's important because I would say, technically, no matter how hard we push, we'd probably be hard-pressed to have a gateway shuttle by 2010. And that's only 3 years away. So we can't leave ourselves holding the bag with no boats in the bag. That can't be difference. So we've got that covered. There's a plan, and that's what it's going to cost. Okay. As far as Prince Rupert itself, as the mayor had mentioned, there are issues, but none of these issues are insurmountable. We plan to move ahead and discuss a lot of these issues. You know, things like the actual dock itself, the transfer bridge. We talk about lease agreements, SOLIS, which I've just discussed. We've got that covered. Customs issues, that's a big one for us, probably for you too. It not only involves our crews coming and going out of Canada, but our passengers. So we need to talk about all that. Captain Clutchy and I, being both pretty busy guys, have failed twice now to meet. George had attempted to come to Ketchikan twice, but either his schedule or my schedule didn't dovetail. And the idea behind that was to start some discussions on mutually sharing docking arrangements with these ferries. So we are going to try to sidebar today with Commissioner Hardy, Captain Clutchy, and myself. Regarding that, we will start those talks, and hopefully they'll be fruitful. And that's really about what I have. I want everybody to fully understand where the Southern Gateway is. I think that if there's one direction this group needs to try to take us in is what we have on paper now conceptually is the way we're going to go. You know, JC had mentioned South Nicol. This boat could do the South Nicol. There's some draft problems there, but this boat would be okay with it. So we need some good guns. That's what we need. It's unfortunate that the project was swept, but I got it back. So it's back. It's there. I would say the biggest challenge is getting money built.
Thank you.
So that's what I have. If there's questions, I'm more than happy. Or I've got some of my staff here, too, if I can't. We've got our accountant here and our office manager here. So
we're going to hold off on questions until we formally close the transportation committee, which we'll do around noon. But I think that information for everybody around the table, again, I mentioned we're going to have another meeting up in Juneau during the session, and that'll be, you know, in January, early January or early February. So this information about the Gateway Shuttle, about the different challenges that Mayor Pond brought up, these are the things I would hope people in the room take away and really think about and have a solid opinion on either another option or concerns about with the plan. As Captain Falvey said, that's the one they have, and that's the one they're going with.
And that's important, Representative. I mean, we have a concept, and it's a very detailed report, and Gloucester looked into a lot of things. They dig deep when they start getting into this kind of thing, and they come up with a concept.
Right.
It's not a drawing, but drawings maybe $1 million away, not far away. Here it is, Chicago building.
So in the meantime, I hope everybody would look at that and figure out what DOT is trying to accomplish and, you know, poke holes in it or come up with better ideas. But when we get back together in Juneau, you know, if that's the best plan that we have, then we're gonna push for it. The final bottom line is to connect the two communities. And that's really why I think Mayor Williams and Mayor Pond wanted this meeting, is to get the awareness level of where DOT is, what's going on in Rupert, a little bit higher. It's been kind of dormant for a couple of years. So I'm really looking for you folks to go out and figure out what you want as community and entity leaders and bring it back to us in Juneau. Let Commissioner Hardy and let Captain Falvey know what the community is, both Prince Rupert and Ketchikan and Metlakatla and all the different communities down there to know what we want. Because if we don't tell them, they're going ahead with their own plan. And they won't know unless we tell them what's wrong with it. Then we'll be stuck with it for another.
Well, we won't let it die at this point. I will maneuver the money around accordingly to keep it
Representative Johansson?
Yes.
Representative Newman?
Representative Newman, thank you for joining us. Representative Newman from the Mattsu Valley. Mark, do you or Representative Dugan, Salmon, or Johnson have any questions at this point?
Thank you, Chair Johansson. Well, I'd just like to state that I look forward to working with this on you, you know, as Chair of Transportation, and following your leadership on this. I know that we've had discussions on this ongoing, you know, even before today's discussion, and that I'll continue to follow your lead on this one and help do what we can to help support your community. I know that you're very involved in this. It's a big issue for you and your community, and I'd just like to let you and the citizens of your community know that you have support from other members in the legislature. As Vice Chair of Transportation, we'll look forward to your leadership on this, and let's get going. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Representative Johnson, do you have anything to add?
No, I'm fine. It's a very interesting concept.
Thank you. Representative Salmon? Representative Dugan, do you have anything?
No, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'll be interested to see some more details than I'm able to glean just from listening to the conversation. But I have some sympathy for people who can sort of, you know, see their neighbors next door but can't quite get to them. So I'll be happy to take a look at this when it gets in front of the committee. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Newman is the Vice Chair of Transportation. He also chairs the Trade and Tourism Committee up in Juneau, and we've invited Mayor Pond to come up, and we'll have some of the other folks come up and go in front of that committee as well. So we'll have a couple bites at the apple in Juneau and spread the information around. Next we have on the agenda Kent Miller. Kent, you ready to go?
Set up time? I need to plug in.
Okay.
power red.
Let's take 5 minutes until about 11:40, and we'll come back. We'll go at ease. Bring the committee back to order. We have Kent Miller is going to have a presentation. I think we can get everybody to sit back down and get ready to go. We're just refueling with coffee before everybody sits down, so it'll be a couple of minutes.
Brought one,
Chairman,
we would have had one.
8 o'clock somewhere.
4 o'clock.
Depends on who's alive. Are we fishing
or
working? Okay, Mr. Miller, you're on the point.
Thank you, Representative Johansson, for inviting me today. I'm Kent Miller, Consulting Industrial Economist. A number of transportation projects through the years, beginning with the first container barge service developed by Alaska Steamship Company in the 60s, continuing with the organization and development of IFA.
Can't hear anything.
Today I'd like to present a private sector option for addressing a portion of the market for passenger and vehicle ferry service between Ketchikan and Prince Rupert. The logic of this project is that historically about half of the ferry traffic between Ketchikan and Prince Rupert has been local, that is between the two ports, and about half has been long haul between Prince Rupert and ports.
Service starts with a definition of service needs in the program, and the boat doesn't exactly come first. But on the other hand, in presenting the concept of a passenger vehicle ferry, certainly the picture of the boat is worth many thousands of words. So to make the presentation as brief as possible, this is the conceptual design for a vessel that would serve both Prince Rupert and Hyder's local passenger vehicle ferry needs. It's a less than 150 passenger boat to be certificated under 46 CFR subchapter K, it would be a SOLAS vessel capable of service between the U.S. and Canada. It has a capacity of under 150 passengers and 24 vehicles. The vehicles are defined as, these 24 vehicles are defined as standard vehicles. The standard is the Ford Expedition, essentially 17-foot, 3-inch, 6-foot, 8-wide, 5,800-pound vehicle. That would be the average. These vehicles are accommodated on a car deck that's partly covered and partly open. The open section of the car deck aft is capable of carrying the largest personal use vehicles on the road today, typically Winnebago Vectras, a Class A motorhome, or a larger number of Class C vehicles, also motorhomes, or the equivalent small to medium truck. The passenger cabin is set up for, in this rendering, in a very rudimentary way, as you can see, with no real definition of spaces, into a forward observation lounge, a central recliner lounge, and after coffee shop bar area with about 176 seats. There's a solarium on the top deck, which would have additional covered but open air seating. It's a conventional 173-foot long, 34-foot wide, steel 16-knot ferry. It's designed for economical construction and operation, construction on a budget less than $8 million, well precedented for less than operation with a certificated day crew of 4 or 5, oops, and for extended operation over the longer day necessary for the trips it's programmed for with a double day crew of 8. The crew on a 100-ton boat, of course, both operates the boat and provides passenger services, including food and beverage. So there's the vessel concept. Going on to really the more important features of the project, the definition of how the service would work. This is a summary of the service characteristics. Beginning in 2009, it would operate a 22-week season. October 1st, its routing would be Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Prince Rupert, Ketchikan. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Hyder, Ketchikan, Rupert. And Saturday, Prince Rupert, Ketchikan, Prince Rupert. Daily service between Ketchikan and the road termini at Prince Rupert and Hyder with 4 weeks. The business plan is focused. I represented it. Okay, so this doesn't include discounts. It doesn't include premium fares for certain seasons of travel and certain travel markets. But the average fare revenue would be about $60 initially. A one-way passenger fare, about $130 for the standard Ford Expedition fare. And then for larger vehicles, $215. These would be vehicles of the Class C motor home size. Of course, there would be lower fares for compacts and higher fares still for the very largest vehicles. Prince Rupert and Hyder would be level rated. That is, the fares would be the same, even though the running distance is 50% greater to Hyder. And there are incremental costs, such as fuel in particular. The service could nevertheless be optimized based on a quite intensive utilization of the vessel on these combined routings between Prince Rupert, Ketchikan, Hyder, and then back again. looking at the timetable for the service, the timetable is intended to provide daylight service between Ketchikan and Prince Rupert. It's a timetable that is the same for every trip. It repeats weekly through the 22 weeks. And it's intended to interface with Marine Highway Service to Metlakatla and IFA service to and from Prince of Wales. Our view of Ketchikan is expansive too, considering the entire 20,000 population of the Ketchikan and Prince of Wales outer Ketchikan areas put together. The boats Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday would leave Prince Rupert, having overnighted there at 7 a.m. at Ketchikan, 11:45 a.m., taking into account the time change, leaving again at 12:15 p.m. and arriving Hyder at 10 o'clock p.m. The next morning, having overnighted in Hyder, it would leave at 7 o'clock a.m., arrive at Ketchikan at 2:45, leave Ketchikan at 3:15, and arrive Rupert at 10. On Saturday, it would make a trip only between Prince Rupert and Ketchikan, leaving Prince Rupert in the morning, following the same schedule as north and back, just omitting the connection to Hyder, which is not capable of doing in a single day. The vessel, of course, is intended as a profit-making project. It would have to make money under the criteria outlined, and the business plan seems very promising of that. I promised 10 minutes, and hope I haven't overrun, so we'd be glad to answer questions when the time comes.
Thank you. Yeah. I think the point Kent is putting out there is if there are going to be other options that people are going to look at throughout the community, not just the main highway option, which is one, but there are other folks who are interested in providing service, and those are things that we're going to have to look at. So not only should you contact Captain Falvey and get their plan, contact Kent, and I know that if there's other things out there, you'll hear about it. Hopefully this is about the definition of the issue of connection up. So just realize there are other options out there, and we need to pick the best one that's going to serve the community and its economy. With that, I'm going to close the Transportation Committee meeting and thank Representative Johnson, Hammond, Dugan, and Newman for their time this morning. We appreciate these are some of the folks that are going to make the decisions based on our behalf down here. And these are the folks that we need to educate on what it means to Ketchikan and Prince Rupert and Southeast Alaska, because they're the ones that are going to help us get what we need accomplished for the good of Alaska and for friends of British Columbia. So I'm going to close the Transportation Committee meeting. We're going to head next door. The borough is hosting lunch. Mayor Williams is going to take over, kind of coordinating what goes on for the afternoon. So I want to thank each and every one of you for showing up this morning and letting us know where you're at. And we'll see you next door.
We're coming back in here, Kyle.
The luncheon is right outside here. If we go to the line, we have to come back and visit.